Hello and welcome to another episode of Mormon History Podcast. This is your host, Skylar. Thank you for tuning in. I know that it has been forever and a day since I last posted an episode, and my life is pretty busy right now. I'm not going to get too much into that, but hopefully I will be able to find a dedicated day to spend on recording so that I can get these out other than once a month. Today I want to talk a little bit about indoctrination, and more so in the sense of how we treated the Indians, as well as some of the other beliefs that we have taught throughout the years in Mormonism. Because this is a Mormon history podcast, I'm going to focus more on how it related to the 1800s and early 1900s versus today when it comes to Indians and the church trying to stay away from calling the Indians the Lamanites, as well as, you know, not really having anything to do with saying anything about the Indians and the Book of Mormon or, you know, North America and things like that. But in Utah, when the Saints first came into the valley, they had to deal with the Indians or the Lamanites. And it's actually kind of interesting what they taught their kids about the Indians and how they were regarded as Lamanites. So I'm going to read a few paragraphs or statements out of a whole series that was published in the Juvenile Instructor. And in the Juvenile Instructor, they did a piece called "Who Are the Indians?" And it's kind of interesting because you'll have someone say, well, they never taught that the Indians were actually from the Book of Mormon. There's the whole limited geography theory of, well, it's a small group of people. We can't really know where they came from. And they only have a small amount of DNA, which we haven't found, where that's not 100% true. They actually taught exactly who the Indians were. And there's a lot of different paragraphs and quotes from Joseph Smith that we could get into. But that's not necessarily what this podcast is about, you know, about Indians specifically and, you know, different quotes of where they came from, but more about the indoctrination of the Indians being the subclass of species. So I'm going to read this from the Juvenile Instructor. It starts out the following. All of our little readers have seen more or less of the Indians as they go about begging from house to house and from town to town. Many of them have doubtless often wondered where the Indians come from, who their fathers and mothers were, and what they were like. Now, as it is a very interesting subject, and we see the Indians around us every day, we propose to tell our little readers something about them and their history. All the Indians in North and South America, and the inhabitants of some of the islands in the Pacific Ocean, are the descendants of a family who came away from Jerusalem about 2,400 years since. What a long time ago, exclaimed the little ones. Yes, it was a long while ago, and they had a long way to come, and we designed to give a short but plain account of their origin and travels, how they crossed the ocean to America, and why their children have become so filthy, dark, and degraded. All right, so let's just pause right there for just a moment. So we went from saying that they all came from one group of people 2,400 years ago, referring to, obviously, Lehi's family, to now wanting to say how they have become so filthy, dark, and degraded. Now, as a young tyke going to Sunday school or to church and being told that Indians are a filthy, dark, and degraded people, you could see how that could cause some conflict in the valley. From here, the following paragraphs just go on to describe the story of Lehi in Jerusalem calling repentance and being, you know, ignored. So I will skip over those parts. I will read one interesting part on here that says, our youthful readers will very likely wonder why the Jews should wish to kill Lehi. when he had done them no harm, but on the contrary had endeavored to do them good by telling them of the dreadful miseries and calamities that awaited them, and how they might escape them. The reason was that the Jews, both men and women, had become very wicked, and they did not like anyone to tell them about or reprove them on account of their sins. The Jews had no disposition to do right and forsake their sins, so they became angry at and hated anyone who told them about their secret murders, their whoredoms, adulteries, robberies, oppression, lyings, and hypocrisy, just as some naughty boys and girls feel angry sometimes at anybody who tells them of their faults. It's kind of interesting. I've seen this numerous times in these youth magazines and things where they constantly call these boys and girls naughty. It goes on to talk about the brass plates and having to go and get them and how Laban and Lemuel were always complaining, but how eventually he got the plates. And then it says, thus we see that besides Lehi's family, there was the family of Ishmael and the servant of Laban named Zoram, who were, in reality, the forefathers of the present Indians. But they all became members of Lehi's family, he being the head, and, as we shall learn in the course of our story, were divided into two principal branches or people, known as the Nephites and the Lamanites. The next part says, Nephi told them to worship God and obey his commandments, and to honor their father and mother, instead of grieving them and plotting against them as they had done. So they now consented to help build the ship, and behaved themselves pretty well for a time. But they seem to have been a very cruel, wicked, bloodthirsty set of men, and their descendants, the Indians, are like them, which is quite natural. Alright, so let's pause there for a moment. They seem to have been a very cruel, wicked, bloodthirsty set of men, and their descendants, the Indians, are like them, which is quite natural. So again, you're teaching these little kids in church that the Indians are a very wicked, cruel, bloodthirsty people, and that they almost can't help it. It is natural for them to be that way. So it goes on to say, Laman and Lemuel taught their children that Nephi had grossly wronged and robbed them, and had endeavored to make himself a ruler and king over them, so they grew up hating the Nephites, and took advantage of every opportunity to injure and murder them. As they became more numerous, their hatred towards the Nephites increased, and for 1,000 years they waged almost continual wars upon one another. The Nephites, for several hundred years, always fought in self-defense to protect their wives and families, their homes and their cities from the outrages and the ravages of the Lamanites, who became a very cruel and degraded, filthy and bloodthirsty set of people, very much like the Indians now. They soon began to paint themselves and wear the skins of animals, which made them look very frightful and hideous, and they lived more by hunting and stealing than by cultivating the ground. Alright, we're going to continue on to hear about the Nephites, how they're not dark and degraded people. The Nephites, on the contrary, were a very industrious, peaceable people who made fine farms, reared comfortable and solid houses, built large cities, and were governed and taught by wise and good men, who enjoyed revelation from the Lord. They were also a very white and beautiful and highly intellectual and cultivated people. But after a time, they too forgot God, fell into great wickedness, and about 400 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were utterly destroyed by the Lamanites after a series of the most dreadful battles we have any account of in the history of the world. After this, there were none but Lamanites left, and the present American Indians are their descendants. So as you can see, this is a very dangerous thing to be teaching little children, about how the current Indians are this degraded, filthy people who are not intellectual, that they're hideous, that they're bloodthirsty, and that essentially we are better than them. This white and delightsome and intellectual and governed and wanting to be, led by men who are given revelation of the Lord. It's the same issue I have with when I grew up. We were taught, these certain stories were cool in the Book of Mormon. The chopping off the head of Laban. In the Juvenile Instructor from 1866, it goes on to say the following. He stooped down to see who it was and found it was Laban. He had a girt around his waist, a very beautiful and valuable sword, the hilt or handle of which was made of gold, and the blade was of the very best steel. Nephi took this sword out of its scabbard and cut off Laban's head with it. He hesitated to do it at first, as he had never killed anyone before, but the Spirit of the Lord told him to do it because Laban was a wicked man and would not obey God. It goes on to say the following. And besides, he had tried to kill Nephi and his brothers and had robbed them of all their treasures and would not give them the plates. He therefore deserved to die. So let me get this straight. Laban has these plates, which are very important to him, which probably have, you know, his own ancestry on it. Lehi's boys decide to go and offer him money for these plates, which are his property. He says no, chases them off, steals their gold, etc. And yet, that made it so he was worth being killed over and have his stuff stolen from them. So, okay, Nephi and his brothers get robbed from their treasures. He would not give up the plates, and he tried killing them. Therefore, he deserved to die and be robbed of his stuff. Makes total sense. I have a problem with us teaching this story in classes, or even, I'm not even sure anymore how much it's taught, but when I was a kid, it would be like, ah, cool, yeah, they cut off his head. That's so awesome. He was a wicked person. I don't know if you've ever watched a beheading video. How about we show the kids that? Let's bring real life into these stories, if that's what we're going to talk about. I don't think we should be discussing how someone should be getting their head cut off because they're wicked. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, it is such a horrific thing, horrific scene for us to be like, yeah, Laban got his head cut off. In another story, you got Ammon cutting all these arms off people. And we talk about it like it's no biggie. Yeah, he chopped off all these arms. Yeah, those guys probably died. Nobody's losing their arms and not dying back in that day, I'm pretty sure. How about we watch some videos of people getting their arms cut off in real life? It's just silly to me, the things that we talk about with primary age kids. It's ridiculous. No wonder we had issues. No wonder the Mountain Meadow Massacre happened. No wonder, you know, Brigham Young hated America. Like, literally hated America. And here we celebrate the 24th of July with American flags. Yeah, Brigham Young was not about the American flag. The reason why we had things like Mountain Meadows and the things that we had with the Indian Wars and stuff like that is because Brigham Young taught to hate the Indians. They literally taught that the Indians were this disgusting, low-class, filthy people. And they taught that anyone outside of the Utah Territory was this evil people. And then you end up having Mountain Meadow Massacre. It's just insane. It's insane that we indoctrinate these kids with this type of thing, that we talk about, you know, beheadings and cutting off arms in these wars as if it's this cool thing. It's not. It's disgusting and it's dangerous. It's this line of thinking and teaching that is dangerous. You want to say that these video games are bad for kids when scriptures are bad for kids? It's insane. And I get it, okay? It's not just the Mormons. America as a whole has really treated the North American Indians as this type of people. I get it. I'm not saying that the Mormons are the only ones that did it. But this is a Mormon history podcast. This isn't a U.S. podcast. I'm not going to go in about that. I'm going to talk about how we as the chosen people, directed by God, have treated his children of all classes of people. We still do it today. We still do it today. So how about we follow the great two commandments of loving our neighbors, and how about we treat people with respect and dignity, and that we love? How about that? How about we love people? We don't need to treat anyone else like they're a subclass human race, or that they're not worthy of our love or God's love because of their sexual orientation, or that they are not identifying as the gender that they were born with. How about we just love? How about we teach the youth to love? How about we teach that maybe what Nephi did was wrong? I mean, clearly, if Joseph Smith didn't need the plates to put together the Book of Mormon, then why did they need the brass plates? Couldn't God just tell them what he wanted them to know? Couldn't he quote all of the chapters of Isaiah? Couldn't he just say, hey, how about we just write this stuff? But no, he was willing to have a youthful guy have to chop off the head of someone else. Okay. I guess that's how we teach, by doing. I hope that you will forgive my sauciness today as I talk about these things. If you can't tell, it's kind of a heated subject for me. But nonetheless, the things that I read to you was published by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Juvenile Instructor back in the mid-1800s for the wonderful youth to learn about them old Indians. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Mormon History Podcast, and I hope that you will return for maybe another saucy episode, but nonetheless, a historical episode of Mormonism.